Hello. Remember me? Mr. Mark Crozer here, all the way from New York City. We've not done this for a while. And look who's with me. Or listen to who's with me.
It's me, isn't it? Hello, from the hovel here, just outside Oxford, in Oxfordshire, England. It's me. It's Bruce. Yes, it has been a long time, hasn't it? How long has it been, Mark, in fact?
It's about that long.
That long, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's quite long.
We're going to do a lot of visual gags.
Visual gags, of course.
Podcast.
Yeah, because we're slightly out of practice. Yes, it's been a while. Has it been a year or something? Oh, I don't know.
It feels like a lot longer than a year, but also no time at all sitting here looking at your face. I haven't actually seen you on a Zoom thing this for quite a while.
No. And I haven't changed at all, have I? And neither have
you're
you.
Exactly it's the same clothes.
It's weird how we don't seem to age anymore, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Look at us. Wow.
I've got a special filter on, like one of those de-aging filters on the camera.
Have you? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Whereas I haven't, so I'm just naturally not aging. Have you seen my...
It's cold there. You are wearing looks like a duffel coat.
No, I'm wearing this hoodie. Now, watch this button on the hoodie. At the moment, it's on red. Okay, so if I just flick that, it's now gone to, I don't know, kind of whitish kind of colour. There's different levels of heat on this hoodie.
Really?
It's a heated hoodie, yeah. So I'm just flicking through the levels.
Hot it.
So, yeah, so I've got that on, and I've got...
Another great visual for the podcast.
I've got three or four layers of thermals and a scarf and fingerless gloves and the heater on very low. Because obviously, since we last spoke, because that new term, isn't it, spinning around called permacrisis.
I've not heard that word before.
Humanity is always in a permacrisis at the moment. Well, particularly us in the UK. And so, yes, so we'll get that out of the way first, the permacrisis. I think last time we were on, then there's the cost of living crisis. I think the war had kicked off, I think, last time I'm not sure if it had, actually, last time we did Rain Stop Play, the war and everything else. And
don't mention the war.
Don't, but I have too late. I've mentioned it. And it's winter, obviously, now, and it's cold, very cold in the hovel, very cold. In fact, last week, it was really cold. It was down to -7, which to you it probably was -7 inside because we didn't have the heating on, really, because we're just trying to, because the cost of the heating is so
expensive. I'm in my T-shirt.
You're in a T-shirt, aren't you? Look at you.
Well, I got a bit, today is actually the first day in about a week or so that's not been really, really cold, because it has been really cold here as well. But I have, the heating is quite good in my apartment. Yeah. It's just blasting out at the moment. It doesn't even need to be on, but it's actually too warm.
Wow.
I shouldn't complain.
That's just part of your rent, wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's just part of the.
Wow, that's amazing.
My rent, which is good.
The
rent is $20,000 a month, but you know,
wow.
At least to get heat included.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're paying a bit too much for your... And I can see your apartment, and I think you're paying too much for it, $20,000 for that. Do they throw in that scraggy Christmas tree that's behind your ear as well?
Scraggy?
$20,000.
Scraggy.
Like, I mean...
they told me that was a genuine Gucci Christmas tree, and that cost me £15,000.
Did it? £15,000,
Decorated by Gucci himself.
Gucci? Is he still alive, is he, Gucci?
Oh, yeah, Graham Gucci.
Graham Gucci. Yeah. I didn't know that was his full name. Anyway, now, Mark, I don't know what to... I mean, we've got some old classic, I don't understand. Well, it has been a while. I did feel a bit creaky. We've got some old classic Rain Stop Play things coming up, haven't we? We've got a couple.
I know. I wasn't expecting that. I've got to be honest.
I know. So we contacted Simon Hook, who does On the Hook, gives us a question or something or conundrum that we have to deal with.
I wonder why you got I wonder where you got that black eye from.
Well, I don't understand why. Why is it from
what? I just assume that I was trying to make
because a hook, like a hook,
yeah,
like a right hook.
Yeah.
So is that what the gag was? I didn't get that.
I don't know. I'm not. My brain is a bit.
No, we're not firing on. Doesn't matter. This, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're easing our way back in slightly crappily, aren't we? So anyway, and we got Hester, who's got a tester for us as well. So we got a couple of the old stalwarts.
Dust off the jingles.
Jingles, yes. Well, because it's Christmas, isn't it? And this is, we just said, well, this is meant to be the Christmas special, isn't it? Christmas New Year special. This is why we thought we'd do this.
Yeah.
And if we want to, we will carry on into 23 and just and carry on doing the podcast, because we thought, well, we haven't seen each other for a long time, and we and it's nice to see you. So we thought, fuck it. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's only three people listening. I mean, it does. It does matter.
But it doesn't,
not in the grand scheme of things. I think since the last time we were on air, another four and a half zillion podcasts have been launched into the ether sphere. So everybody, but the cat, I think cats and rabbits and mice, they all have their own podcasts now, and they all invite other animals on. So, so anyway, but we didn't care. So that's coming up on the hook, Hester's Testers. Can I kick off with a subject just quickly before we do that? Is that all right?
Yeah.
So I've got a new phone. I've had an old iPhone 5S for a very long time because obviously the cost of living crisis, blah, 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 and everything. I've not wanted to spend any money at all. But it's an old 5S and it was just, you know, it was on life support system. I had to have a battery plugged into it all the time, big fat car battery plugged into it. Otherwise it didn't have any power. So eventually I thought, yeah, well, okay. So I got a new one. And on this new iPhone, it's got, and I know I'm way behind everybody on this because I haven't upgraded my phone forever, but it's got a thing called a haptic button selection. Have you heard of the word haptic?
It does ring a bell, but I've got no idea what it is.
I don't think it actually rings a bell on the phone though.
He's back.
That's better, isn't it? Oh, yeah. It's taken a while, isn't it, to get back in? So it's called haptic, H-A-P-T-I-C.
Right. Yeah.
And it kept on referring to this haptic button. I thought, what the fuck's a haptic button? So basically what it is it's got the little bezel. I think it's called the bezel because it's an SE haptic phone. And
bezel,
I think
yeah.
little round knob button type set in bezels. Now the iPhone doesn't have a bezel anymore. You just pick it up and you're just on. Okay. But I've got the SE, which has still got the old style bezel thing, little button. So you push very lightly the button and you go from screen to screen or turn it off, whatever, blah, blah. This is all tedious. Apart from the fact this thing's called a haptic button. And you get three, when you set it up, you get three choices of the haptic. Now,
oh, yeah.
I don't think
I've got the same phone actually. Now I know exactly what you're talking about.
I see. Yeah. And I'm not sure if this is the right word. Hapticity, the hapticity of the haptic button. Uh-huh. You get three options: one, two, or three.
Yeah.
Okay, and I went. Okay, well, I mean, I'm sort of slightly intrigued. Okay, option one, pushed it. Option two, yeah, pushed it again. Have you been through the different haptic button pushes?
That's why haptic rings a bell, because
And I went through them, and then I thought they all feel like just the same. Like I'm pushing a very small, very shallow button on a phone. So, and I suddenly thought, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck are they doing? Who gives a flying fuck about the hapticity of a button on a phone?
Right.
I mean, if number one gave me an orgasm. If number two gave me lots of cash straight into my account, if number three, I can't think of what number three, something very nice, maybe, you know, a big jug of hot chocolate, then I go, well, that's interesting. I mean, I've got some choices here. They actually mean something.
Yeah.
It just means that the button just feels slightly different, but I couldn't even tell.
Yeah, no, I remember.
I mean, what? What is that, Mark?
It is kind of weird, though, that you press it and it feels like you're actually pushing in a button.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the phone is turned off, it's just...
Yeah.
It's not a button.
It's not just a button.
It just feels like a button when it's turned on.
But my point
I find quite interesting. More interesting than you, obviously.
But the point is, though, why have... There's the three different settings.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, I just don't care what the sensation is in the end of my thumb is. Because it's not like one is, say, is deeply satisfying and gorgeous, and number two is absolutely horrific and makes me feel like I'm, you know, I'm I've just had a 40,000 volts sent through my body. You know, the options are just the same thing. It's the, I don't, anyway, too much. I don't understand.
Well, that's what I don't understand with these things. They give you lots of choices over things that you don't really need to have any choice over.
No, but you never even thought about.
You feel like you've got, oh, yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? All those choices. Those choices of things.
Ridiculous. Haptic button. But you actually like it.
I like the way it's quite tactile. I like it.
Because there's not actually a button there. That's the point. But it makes you feel like there's a button.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I want to move swiftly on to, sorry, if you you probably got things, but just get this out of the way, is that here in the old Blighty, but you know, permacrisis, one of the parts of the permacrisis is everyone's on strike. So the rail train drivers and the NHS and everybody's on strike, pretty much. They had this big strike a couple of days ago for the first time, like in history, of the NHS, that the nurses have gone on strike. So, what the government said, and this was then relayed out on news outlets, the government said via the media, it said, tomorrow there will be a nurses' strike, so we're asking you to be very careful.
All right.
Oh, no, not actually not nurses. No, it was the ambulance driver strike.
Oh, right.
Ambulance driver. So be very careful. Yeah. So I thought, okay, tomorrow I should be very careful. And what I did was I got all the knives in the kitchen, right? All of them. I collected them all together into a big, I got a big rug, big thick rug, all the knives, and I put all the knives into the rug, and I put the knives in the shed outside, zipped it up. I thought, all the knives are there now, so I can't accidentally fall over and slip my, you know, my jugular open with a knife. So that's tick.
Right.
And then I got, because of all this packaging being done because of Christmas, I've got tons of bubble wrap. And so I wrapped myself up in bubble wrap for that day. And lo and behold, I didn't have an accident. I didn't have to call the ambulance. And it was really wise advice by the government. Thank you, government, because
good that they're, otherwise, sometimes they get it right, don't they?
They absolutely got that right. And then, so the next day, there wasn't an ambulance strike, so I could get all the knives back. It took me a while to get out of the bubble wrap.
How did you get out of the bubble wrap if you put all the knives away?
Did
you put the scissors away as well?
I thought every sharp object went away. Every sharp object went away. So I had to claw at the bubble wrap with my fingernails. And then, of course, I was clawing with the bubble wrap with my fingernails, and I thought, well, this is probably quite dangerous. Because I could claw accidentally just.
You could claw your eyes out.
I'd claw my eyes out. And then I wouldn't be able to see my phone to phone an ambulance that wouldn't come anyway because there's a strike. So, yes, I didn't think that one completely through. I should have cut my fingernails first. Oh, no, I don't know. So, but in all seriousness, it did make me think, why doesn't the government say that every day? Just be careful every day. This should be careful, and then everybody in this country go, oh, let's be extra careful like we were yesterday, because apparently it worked. Apparently there were far less people ringing up the ambulance because they were all wrapped in bubble wrap, and they put all their knives in the shed.
I'll just save this heart attack for tomorrow. But it's more convenient for the ambulance.
But if they do it every day, that will solve the problem with the NHS, because we'll all gingerly go about our business.
Yeah.
Gingerly and carefully. See?
Yeah. Bloody hell, that's all I can say about that.
Bloody hell. So, Mark, tell us about your life. Let's pick up with your life.
Well,
because
first of all,
a lot's changed. Go on.
I'm being distracted. There's something in the background that looks like a sock puppet.
Yeah, it is.
On a stick. It is a sock puppet.
Yeah. Should I get it?
Yeah.
Have you not seen it?
No.
Are you sure? Have you not seen...
Is this something you use when you're teaching? Hello, let's see what Mr. Sock Puppet has to say about making a film.
It's Katie had it for her when she was teaching in school for kids, and so. But then Angela and I stole it,
right?
One day, and then we did a sort of. Have you not seen the YouTube video of us doing a test? a test for a kids show. It's on there now. I put it up yesterday, actually. Oh, right. Go onto YouTube at the end of this and have a look at this. It says there's me presenting with Angela plays the puppet in it. Yeah, he's sweet, isn't he? He's not very sweet in the video.
Is he rude?
No, he's quite rude in the video. Very rude. So there we go. So he's called Stripey. We're not originally called Stripey, but we call him Stripey because, look, he's Stripey. There we go. Again, this works really well on a podcast, isn't it? Yeah. So there we go. Well spotted. Well spotted there. Whoa, look at your eagle eyes. Yeah, so that's on. That's up on YouTube at the moment, our little screen test for Stripey the puppet. Anyway, let's talk about you. Let's catch up with what you, because a lot's happened with you, isn't it, since the last time we were on?
No.
Yeah, you have, because you've become a teacher, haven't you?
Well, we've both become teachers.
Well, I've always done some teaching, haven't I?
All right.
I've always done some types of teaching, but you've really gone for it, haven't you?
I suppose I have. I've got.
Tell us about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Everyone wants to hear about it. Do they? Mark. Yeah.
Do you really want to hear about it, boys and girls?
Yeah, Mark, tell us about your teaching.
I'm actually really quite enjoying it. I was teaching this kid yesterday, I think he's about 9 or 10, and he came in, it was supposed to be a vocal lesson, he came in and he's a bit of a disruptive child. He has like ADHD or something. So I have to kind of keep an eye on him. And was supposed to do a singing lesson. He came in and started playing the piano really well. And I had no idea that he could play the piano. And then he's like, and then he kind of started directing me. He's like, can you, I need you to write down what I'm playing. Okay, this is what it's, C, E, G, put that on there. So, and I said, well, I'm not really that kind of musician. I can't really write music. And he looked at me horrified and he said, can I get a teacher who can read music, please?
Which is a fair request, yeah, isn't it?
I said, well, I'm afraid you're stuck with me. And really, that's not what I'm here for. We weren't going to be doing a piano lesson. I'm not here to transcribe your ideas very much. It was supposed to be a vocal lesson. Like, right. Then it was fine. Yeah, he's very sweet, but also very disruptive, that child.
Wow. So there's this little 10-year-old protege like Mozart when he was 10, basically writing these incredibly complicated piano parts.
Yeah.
And you're like his little bitch. Oi, you write it down.
And then he was like grabbing my hand. He was like playing something and then he wanted me to copy what he was doing. Wow. Like just violently grabbing my hands and like ramming them onto the keys. Okay.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. Get your hands off me.
Lord.
And then I have a lot of kids like that. You know, I was doing a drum lesson. That's just funny. I'm only a beginner drummer myself.
Beginner drummer, aren't you?
With this one kid. And then he said to me, I think you should know, I'm a really good piano player. Like, oh, okay, brilliant. They're very full of themselves, the young kids. They think, they really think that they're the next Mozart.
Yeah. So this is another kid who's a really brilliant piano player.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Annoyingly, he was.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, you show me then. Show me how good you are.
And he was brilliant. And then he turned around to you and said, show me how good on the drums you are.
How long have you been playing the piano? And he said, about a year. And then he said to me, how long have you been playing drums? About half an hour.
How am I doing?
Sticks for the first time.
Dear. Yeah. So, and how about the mega? Don't you play with a mega group? There's like 10 of them in all these different ages, and they all play at the same time.
Yeah, I have different this songs one group. There's I think nine or 10, ranging from age 5, I think, is the youngest, up to about 12 is the oldest.
That's quite a range.
It's really I enjoy it, but it's hard work because they just the biggest thing is getting them just to not play when I'm talking. It's like we finish the song and then I start, all right, everybody, and then you've got the drummers going, okay, right, please just stop playing the drums, put your sticks down, and he looks at me like, oh, okay. And then I go, okay. And it's, it's like, oh, right. Well, I meant put them down for more than 3 seconds. Put them down and don't play when I'm. And I, oh, you, okay, talking. Isaac,
yeah.
Stop playing the guitar. Stop playing the guitar. Stop playing the guitar. Stop playing the guitar. Stop. Just do that. Stop playing the guitar. And he's kind of staring at me, carrying on playing, as if I, as if he's not aware that his hand is like going round, 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 round. Stop playing the guitar. And then there's like another little kid, just a bit younger, who then, of course, between every song was going, stop playing the guitar. Stop playing the guitar. Stop playing the guitar. Like, okay, you don't need to join in. You're gonna, it's chaos. Like, I'm really, I don't have a loud voice. Like, the more I raise my voice, it doesn't get louder. It just gets more hoarse. Okay, everybody, put down your drumsticks. I can't shout. I can't shout because that's what my voice goes like. And then, God, they're hilarious. And then, you know, there's little kids coming. Can I go to the bathroom? Okay, go to the bathroom. And then, can you tune my guitar for me? Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. Just don't worry about it being in tune. Don't worry about it.
Can you arrange this tune I've just written? For a 60 instrument orchestra, okay, before I get back from the toilet. Come on.
Yeah, it's bombarded with questions and requests. And it's very funny.
Did they ask you about your musical lineage, as it were?
They have no interest in me. They're only interested.
They're not interested at all. Yeah. So they have no interest in the WWE song or Jesus and Mary Chain.
They don't give a clue who Jesus and Mary Chain is.
Or how about the wrestling, the WWE song?
I don't think they know about it, and I haven't.
Yeah, no.
You know, don't walk in and go, "Hey, everybody, it's me from the." remember me from the? No, I mean that was also. Think about it, right? These kids are 8 or 9 years old.
2014.
They weren't even 2014. Born,
no, that's true. Yeah. gosh.
Yeah, and then I've been doing that, and then I've been building up my private student practice as well, which is going quite well. Private. I have like 5 students a week at the moment, and that's all fun.
You're like sort of the Harley Street surgeon of music teachers, then, aren't you? With all your little private practice.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Select, elect, the elect, select. Yes, teaching. We know lots of teaching. And Angela's, Jelly's going to be doing some teaching at the same school that I'm teaching at. She's been teaching some voice for actors at this drama school. Yeah. So we're all getting involved, all getting hands mucky with a bit of the old teaching. Don't. It's just a metaphor. I'm not being dragged down that road, Mark. I'm not.
There's no road to be dragged down. I'm very professional.
No, there isn't. Very professional. Good. So, let's do a bit of a classic On the Hook with Simon Hook.
On the Hook with Simon Hook. His questions we slay, unrinsed up slay.
Let's see what hook he is trying to impale us on with today, as is his wont. So this is what we this is
do you want to say that
what not really it'll be worse the second time around. So basically this is what he said. He said welcome back, lovely lads, which is very nice, thank you, and welcome back to you. Thank you very much, Simon. I didn't give him much warning on this, so I gave Hester even less, I think. So welcome back, lovely lads. In our politically correct world, we're already worried, aren't we, that we're gonna get cancelled, aren't we?
How can we get cancelled?
We haven't got any followers, that's true. In our politically correct world, is there any future for children sitting on the laps of strangers dressed as Father Christmas? It's a good question. It's a very, very good question by Mr. Hook. Yeah. It's a very, very good question, because he's just waiting for us to get caught up on this particular hooky hook, isn't he? Over to you, Mark. You start.
I was thinking earlier on about that, where the whole sitting on the lap came from. Do you think it's just because Father Christmas comes from Lapland?
That's very good.
That's a dad joke.
No, I liked it. I laughed though. It was a genuine laugh. Yeah. I like that's probably yeah. That's probably the excuse he uses to get the.
Well, I'm from Lapland, aren't I? So come over. Why is it everything? I can't say anything without turning it into some like sordid, horrible.
You can't.
Filthy.
Well, no, but he set us up there, isn't he? Yeah. And that's what he's saying, isn't it? I mean, we can't approach this in any other way. Thank fuck we don't have any followers. Because if we had any followers at all, we would not answer it. Because we think, no, we don't get me cancelled and we'll lose the revenue we get through the rubbish social media thing. But we don't. So we're free to say what we like. Well, you didn't answer it, did you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's such a long time since I've kind of even paid attention to the various Santas out there doing that kind of thing. I mean, not doing that. You know what I mean? Like the Santa's grotto situation.
It's the fact it's called a grotto, isn't it? No, it's even the fact it's Santa's grotto.
It just sounds...
It sounds so sleazy.
It does.
Go to Santa's grotto. Yeah, grotty grotto.
Santa's grotto.
Yeah. Come on, on your hop, on the lap. I mean,
do they still do that kind of thing?
I think not just
with adults and children.
Yeah.
I mean, even like, you know, where I work, there's a whole load of protocols, obviously.
Of course about, there are. You know,
what's allowed and what isn't allowed. You know, if a child wants to hug you, you have to try to kind of do... deflect them to do a certain, like fist bumps and high fives are cool.
Yeah.
You know, cuddling and tickling and sitting on the lap.
Not so much.
Not good.
I wonder
how that works in the Santa context, whether like it's now just like Santa gives you a fist bump and then like, do they even give out toys? Because there's a danger that they might, you know, trigger some kind of...
Get triggered by a toy. What the fuck is this?
Or it's like toxic, you know, you got to be careful, haven't you, with the kind of messages you send out. Well, maybe they only give like some kind of ball made of like foam that you can't do any damage with. Here's a foam ball.
And it's recyclable foam. I mean, what's it called? What's the thing we have to do with things now? Sustainable foam. Otherwise, they'll get pissed off with it. What the fuck is this? Is this foam donkey sustainable? Is it made from sustainable ingredients? If not, Santa, fuck off. Yes. No, I'm sure. Goodness. Do you know, this is going to sound desperately wrong, but I now would quite like to go down to the shopping mall and observe. Yeah. Father Christmas, and see how he deals with all these things. Because I think obviously Simon must have seen, prompted by seeing Santa. We must ask him this. I will ask him. Has he seen a Santa with child on lap scenario? You know, this year. Because I agree. I mean, I don't think they would go anywhere near. I don't think they would go anywhere near children.
Is it maybe like a situation where you have like Santa kind of behind glass, like Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs, and you kind of approach from a distance and you're like, no touching. They have signs up, no touching, maintain a distance of 6 feet from Santa at all times.
Oh, dear.
I mean, that might be the safest way.
That would be the safest way. Oh dear. So yes, I think the answer is, Mr. Hookie, is that we don't believe that any of that is allowed to go on anymore. We cannot believe that goes on. But you know, maybe it does. But there'd be a lot. If I was employed as a Santa for that situation, I'd be too scared to go anywhere near children. I just couldn't be in the same room as them because I'd be thinking I'm going to get done for something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just couldn't do it. But it's a very interesting question, though.
It's a good question. Yeah.
It's a very good question.
If anyone listening...
Yeah, at all.
Start. Yeah. And if you happen to have seen any Santa child action out there...
I didn't. Oh, no. Santa child action. I mean, you know, oh no!
Sitting on Santa.
I'm not on YouTube. Not on the dark web. Okay, but actually out there in the shopping mall. Okay, when we talk about anyway. Oh dear Lord! I'm so glad that nobody that we have no one is interested in us. What we say. Try to stop as you try to arrest us, but before you do, it's time for Hester's Tester. It's time for Hester's Tester. Thank you. Hester had about, I gave her about 3 seconds warning. So she, again, thank you very much, Hester, for getting contact. And it's a nice, short, pithy one from her. What was your biggest fuck up in 2022, Mark? What was your biggest fuck up?
Oh dear!
And I know there were many.
Were there?
So I'm presuming there were many
fuck ups because I.
No, I don't. No, I can't list. You can't list somebody else's fuck ups.
I don't know.
Rude.
I think probably.
Can you think?
The only fuck ups I can think of are things I don't really want to talk about.
Yeah. But they'd be the best ones, wouldn't they? What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame that you can't. Shall I, while you're thinking, you come up.
I did think about this
and I thought, because I'm OCD and my life is ruled by Colin the Catastrophizer, and so I'm always thinking ahead to what could go wrong. I do tend to avoid a lot of fuck ups because I've catastrophized them anyway in the run up to it. So like in teaching stuff, I've done so much prep for this new job, this new teaching job, so much because I want to avoid the fuck ups. Tons of prep with the kit and everything else. And everything I've obviously fucked up a lot over my life, but in the last year, I couldn't think of that much. But then it got me thinking about things that just fuck up.
Mm.
And involve me, so I'm going to answer I'm not quite answer the question, I'm afraid. Sorry, Hester, but I'm going to say things that just fuck ups that just happen that involve me. I mean, that obviously happens a lot. And regarding the teaching one, this is one that happened this term. You know, again, despite all this prep and all this prepping with all the kit, there's a lot of camera stuff and mics and lights and everything. Yeah. And I have to sort of set all this stuff up and teach them about this stuff with the students. So there's lots of moving parts, but generally speaking, there wasn't any particular fuck up with the kit. But I was early on, I went down to teach them, and it wasn't actually on the main site. It was another site. So the Tackley Village Hall. Have you been to Tackley Village Hall, Mark?
I haven't been to Tackley Village Hall, no.
But you know Tackley, just outside Kirlington. I mean, not far from Kirlington. Yeah, Tackley. You've been to Tackley there, haven't you? You know Tackley. Surely. It's about a stone's throw from Kirlington, which you lived in for about 4,000 years. Did you ever leave Kirlington? Did you ever look out the window? Were you ever curious about where that road went that said Tackley 1 mile this way? Did you ever go down that road?
It's coming back to me.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're down there. So off-site in this Tackley Village Hall, because a lot of students, and sometimes we just have to go and teach them somewhere else. And I got down there really early with everything, all the kit and everything, because I thought, I want this to be a good day's work with them, and I don't want them to avoid all the fuck-ups. And I got all the kit out, the cameras and the microphones and everything else. It's all got, and lots of kit, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to get my bag, my computer bag, and inside one of the zips on the computer bag was a key wire. It was an HDMI wire that I needed to plug into the big screen. Okay, so I just needed that. It was just a very essential wire. And it wasn't that it was broken. I just couldn't undo the fucking zip.
Yeah.
So I've got all the rest of the kit in there, and I'm with this, and the students are starting to turn up, and I go, just gonna, and I'm standing there with this, you know, bag, all the rest of the kit's kind of there, ready to be put out, trying to undo the zip, thinking, yeah, I'm sure it'll just come loose soon, I'm sure. And then I'm starting to panic because I'm thinking, I'm starting the lesson, I need to use this wire, I can't, I just won't work, everything's, anyway, I couldn't get in. And then right next door to the village hall, there's a village, Tackley village shop. And I went in there and I came out again, but I went in there to ask if they had a knife to see whether I could prize the zip. And then I thought, I can't do that. I can't walk in there. And they didn't know who I was and say, hello, have you got a knife? I couldn't imagine saying that to somebody, you know, in a shop. Have you got a knife?
I know your knives.
I thought there might be a little old deer there. She might be a bit scared of me coming and give us a knife. So I didn't do that. So I walked out of the shop, not us having asked. And then I thought, fuck. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. And so then I went, I need this wire. So then I said, okay, I'll be back in a moment. I jumped into the car. This is like fucking something Clockwise, John Cleese's film. Yeah. I jumped into the car and went as fast as I could back home. So unfortunately, home's not that far away. So like 10 minutes, you know, going very fast down the country lanes. I got home and then I eventually found a Stanley knife and I'm just slicing open my computer bag, just slicing it. And eventually I just ripped open the big zip pocket thing and I got the wire out. And then I raced back down again. You know, and I turned up all sweaty and everything with the, you know, and I destroyed my computer bag, but I had the wire. So that's just one very minor, that sort of thing happens a lot. Just something's fucked. And then suddenly you get fucked by this tiny thing and it just escalates and it's just very, so that's those, my, that's as close sort of as I can do that.
To me all the time. But this year, I suppose all the fuck ups I can think of are all related to work as well. Just by being unprepared, you know.
Unprepared, or
turning up for like a piano lesson, which I'm not qualified to teach. And, you know, attempting.
Yeah.
Like, I'll show you how to do that. And then actually not having a clue how to do it.
No.
That's embarrassing.
I think that's the thing about instruments is that, I mean, I totally appreciate winging stuff. But I think with an instrument, I think it's very hard to wing playing an instrument if you have no, if you don't play the instrument, and then winging it doesn't quite work, does it? Like here not is a all. Harp. I've never played a harp before, but I'm sure I can wing it.
Out of that.
I don't think it works very well, does it?
No. The thing about
the piano stringed
is,
instruments. Yeah,
I know the theory. I know all the notes. I know how you can make chords and the different chord inversions.
Scales
and everything. But I can't play it. So this is the problem. No. So I can say, no. Yeah, that's a G minor. that's a C major.
Yeah.
There you go. But, you want me to play something?
You want me
I'm
to
not
put
that
those...
kind of teacher.
You want me to thread those two chords together, do you?
No, I can't do that.
I can't. I could give you either a G or a C separately, but I'm not going. I'm not segueing from a G into a C.
It's beyond my job's worth to put the two together. I'm afraid it's beyond. It'll cost you extra. And I've had a couple of bass lessons as well, like where I've just not been remotely capable.
You play the bass though that is an instrument you're meant to be able to play.
Well,
though,
I can play
the
it
bass.
I can play the style of bass that I can play. I can play very well, but I can't play complicated like jazz progressions. I had a teenager, was about 18 right at the beginning when I started teaching, who wanted me to show him like jazz progressions, and I just sat there and went, just hold on a second. And I left the room. I went, help!
And went,
he wants to know jazz progressions. I don't know anything about it. What do I do?
You left the room, you left the building, you jumped onto the tube, and you came home.
Exactly how I felt. Like I just wanted to just bear with me a second. Disappeared. I'm fine with the young kids, you know, who don't have any real musical ability, because it's just like, okay, show you a couple of chords, fine. But when it comes to more complicated stuff, on the bass in particular, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's just embarrassing. Those kind of situations are highly embarrassing for everybody.
Well,
sweating. I've got this one kid. I keep telling them every week, I'm not really a piano player, so I don't really feel I should be teaching piano. This is one kid, he's 11, And he's very, very quiet. Like, he doesn't really say anything during the lesson. And when they're like that, I kind of get a bit flustered. If there's a kind of rapport, then I'm sort of okay winging it, because I can, you know, we can have a little chat and everything. But when he's not saying anything, I kind of compensate for that by kind of saying, "Oh, let me show you how to play Zombie by the Cranberries." And I go, "Oh, actually, let me just listen to it for a second, because I don't know how to play it." And then this kid just kind of looked at the look of pity in his eyes. You know, an 11-year-old child looking at you with this kind of look of like,
I
feel sorry for you, Mr. Crozer. It's horrible. So those are my main fuck-ups, were just work-related. I can't think of anything else. I mean, I did...
That you can talk about.
Well, earlier this year when we were rehearsing with Jesus and Mary Chain, me and Justin, the new drummer, I did... direct him to a video of one of the songs from a previous performance for him to learn it, and then after he spent a long time learning it, realized that the video that we played it wrong. So he learned to play this song wrong, perfectly, you know.
and then
we were playing it, it was like, "What are you doing? You keep fucking up." And then realized it's because he'd learned this from a video where we didn't play it properly, where we fucked it up, and then it was my fault, so I felt a bit bad for that. Probably the worst fuck up of the year so far has been this podcast, like the previous half an hour where I said all those things. I take it all back. I was only joking.
Oh right. You know. So this podcast is going to be 3 minutes long after all the savage edits. Is that what you're saying now?
Could be.
Oh, what a shame.
Nah.
Oh well. People listening will never know how long the actual podcast really was.
The 17 hours.
17 hours of stuff.
We're laughing our heads off at all the inappropriate.
the inappropriate show. Well, very good. Well, that's lovely. Should we round up? What are you doing? Oh, no, before you go.
What are you doing? I'm not doing anything.
Mark hasn't actually gone anywhere. Sorry, you're still there. But before you go, in the sense of ending the show, how did your orientation go for your library job?
Oh, yeah. That's another thing I'm going to start in January, is working at the Brooklyn Public Library. Not actually during... it's more... they have events there, right? Poetry readings and plays and music stuff. So I'm going to be an usher for the performance stuff a few hours a week. If I can fit, the thing is, I was doing this orientation the other day. I'm just thinking, I don't even know how I'm going to fit this in, because I've got, I've gone from being a complete idler, as you know, to now struggling to fit anything in, because I'm doing so much. I mean, one of the big problems is with that job that I've got is it's just such a long way. The other day, I can't remember, did I tell you this? So that on Monday when I went, there was a fire on the train line somewhere. So all the trains were delayed. So my normal journey that takes me about an hour and 45 minutes took 2.5 hours.
Bloody hell.
I spent five hours that day getting traveling to work. And I was only there for about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit ridiculous. I've got to figure something out.
Look at it. But look at it. See, I mean, that's how we should have started the show, by talking about the fact that the idling thing, particularly for you, has gone out the window.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre, isn't it?
The thing
really?
Is, I actually have discovered I really like working, doing it. I mean, because it's something I enjoy doing. Like, I really like working with the kids, because they're hilarious. Yes. They really are hilarious.
Yeah.
And they come in, they're always so full of life, and it's really, you know, I've never seen a kid come in a bad mood.
So, yes, it's not just, it's them giving back to you.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's giving your measly, pathetic little life some meaning at last.
Yeah.
And really?
All the people I work with as well, they're all really fun, nice, cool people.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then the library a few hours a week, and then my private students a few hours a week. And then I've been doing some recording with a couple of, like, production with a couple of people, which is taking up time.
I think it's quite enough.
Quite enough. Quite
and
enough,
it's quite enough. Man. So the bottom line is really...
I'm still broke. I'm still... Yeah, oh, this is the thing.
You're still broke. Oh, well,
you know, I'm still just about scraping by. And the other... Well, a couple of days. So I had like quite a lot of money in my account after being paid. But then I had to pay... And you think, oh, look at that. I've got like, you know, $1,500. That's good. And then, you know, rent goes out. And then some other things go out. And then all of a sudden I look and it's like 50. I've got $50 left. And I, and I saw that I had $50 left till the end of the year. I know it's only a week or so, but I mean, I can't buy any food. I can't go anywhere. How am I going to get to work? Because it's going to cost me that just to get there. And then by some miracle, I discovered that... so I saw that I had a little bit of money in my online music account, you know, from streaming sales for the last few months. I thought, oh, I'll withdraw that. And then I realized that I'd withdrawn money from the previous couple of times into the a particular account, but that hadn't actually gone from that account into my bank. So I had accrued like about $150 in this account. And I was like, thank fuck for that. That's going to, you know, because of my stupidity earlier in the year, not realizing I'd not withdrawn it properly, I still had that money. So that saved my... bacon
saved your ass
for a bit.
So you're doing all this work and you're still not, I mean, so how what's the plan to do lots of work but actually to have some money? Because I guess that's the idea, isn't it? To actually, you're doing all the work, but how do you get more money
for one thing? I just need to get a couple more private lessons a week. I'm gonna be working like 6 days a week.
Wow.
Stupid. But I mean, you know, it's not like a full day. So it's not... No. If I was working like 9 to 5, 6 days a week, that would be grueling. But, you know, it's just a few hours here and there. 6 days a week is not so bad. But yeah, got to earn more money. It just comes and goes like...
Well, yeah. Well,
it's very tedious.
Yeah. Well, should we end on that tedious note?
Yeah. Christmas. Oh, Christmas.
Have a tedious Christmas. I wish everyone could see your tree. That's the biggest shame.
What's wrong with my tree?
Biggest regret. No, it's just, it's got through, I'll just describe it for the listeners. It's got one kind of tinsel on it. So it's got one blue, what is it? One blue strip of something. Blue and silver strip.
Long strip.
And it's not my big, the strip, but that strip has basically covered the whole tiny asphyxiated tree. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it's like you know what I mean, it's just a tinsel being held, it's just tinsel with a tiny suggestion of green behind it.
When the lights are on, it looks very nice.
Does it? Well when we've come off air, you have to have proof of that.
Well, I like it.
Yeah,
that's
well,
all that counts.
That's what counts. Yeah. Well, anyway, happy Christmas everyone to you.
Whatever.
And everyone we'll probably do this again in 23, won't we? We're probably going to crack on and see if we can say lots of other, well, you particularly say lots of inappropriate thing and lose all the work.
Yeah, next time we'll be honest, we'll be like, well, yeah, I've been fired. I've been fired from all my jobs because somehow that got out that I was just really rude.
That would be funny though, wouldn't it? And then we can say that was the biggest fuck up of 23.
Yeah.
Answer in advance Hester's question for next year. Lovely. Okay. Well, right. Catch you soon, Mark.
All right. Yeah. See you in a bit.
In a bit. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Bye.